You're listening to the Holy Bible One Year Challenge with Master Storyteller Michael Wood, featuring the easy-to-read version and used by permission from Bible Week International. Enjoy the show!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to day 151. We are finishing the book of 1 Samuel, and the Philistine Empire strikes back. And in one of the most intense season finales, there is an epic battle with Saul and his sons against the Philistine army. I won't say any more. You'll just have to find out what happens. And we are also continuing in the book of John. Jesus has been nailed to the cross. And in John chapter 19, we hear the last words of Jesus before he dies. But there is always hope. And after Jesus is buried in a brand new tomb, the followers, a few days later, find that the tomb is open. There are just a bunch of linen cloths laying there. The same linen cloths that were wrapped around the dead body of Jesus. But there is no Jesus to be found. Where is the body? Now, there are some of them who knew and believed the scriptures saying that Jesus would die and then rise again. But not everyone really knew that scripture or even believed it. So there begins their investigation as to where has Jesus gone.
If you enjoy the show, visit me at patreon.com/storymaster. You'll find the link in the description box below. By contributing as little as $1 per month, you will enable me to continue this ministry, and you'll get cool rewards too. Together, we're going to get through the Bible in 1 year. Let's get started.
1 Samuel chapter 29. David can't come with us. Meanwhile, the Philistines had gathered all their army camps at Aphek. The Israelites were camped by the spring near Jezreel. The Philistine rulers were marching in divisions of 100 and 1,000 men. David and his men were at the back with Achish. The Philistine captains asked,
"What are these Hebrews doing here?"
Achish told the Philistine captains,
"This is David. He was one of Saul's officers. He has been with me for a long time. I have found nothing wrong in David since the time he left Saul and came to me."
But the Philistine captains were angry with Achish. They said,
"Send him back. Let him go back to the city you gave him. But he can't go into battle with us. As long as he is here, we have an enemy in our own camp. If he wanted to make things right with his king, the best way to do it would be to cut off the heads of our men. Isn't David the one the Israelites sing about? They dance and sing this song. What was it? Oh yeah. Saul has killed thousands of enemies, but David has killed tens of thousands."
So Achish called David and said,
"As surely as the Lord lives, you are loyal to me. I would be pleased to have you serve in my army. I haven't found anything wrong with you since the day you came to me. The Philistine rulers also think you are a good man. Go back in peace. Don't do anything against the Philistine rulers."
David asked, "What have I done wrong? Have you found anything wrong with me since the day I came to you? So why won't you let me go to fight the enemies of my lord, the king?" Achish answered,
"I believe that you are a good man. You are like an angel from God. But the Philistine captains still say, David can't go with us into battle. Early in the morning, you and your men should go back to the city I gave you. Don't pay attention to the bad things captains say about you. You are a good man. But you must leave in the morning as soon as there is enough light."
So David and his men got up early in the morning, went back to the country of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel.
1 Samuel chapter 30. The Amalekites attacked Ziklag. As soon as David and his men arrived at Ziklag on the third day, they saw the Amalekites had attacked Ziklag. The Amalekites invaded the Negev area, attacked Ziklag, and burned the city. It took all the women in Ziklag, both young and old, as prisoners. They didn't kill anyone. They only took them as prisoners. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found the city burning. All their wives, sons, and daughters had been taken by the Amalekites. David and the other men in his army cried loudly until they were too weak to cry anymore. The Amalekites had taken David's two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, who had been the wife of Nabal from Carmel. All the men in the army were sad and angry because their sons and daughters had been taken as prisoners. The men were talking about killing David with stones. This upset David very much, but he found strength in the Lord his God. David said to Abiathar the priest, "Let's use the ephod, see what God wants us to do." So Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and David prayed to the Lord. "Should I chase the people who took our families? Will I catch them?" The Lord answered,
"Chase them. You will catch them, and you will save your families."
David took the 600 men with him and went to Besor Ravine. About 200 of his men stayed there because they were too weak and tired to continue. But David and the other 400 men continued to chase the Amalekites. David's men found an Egyptian in a field and took him to David. They gave the Egyptian some water to drink and some food to eat. The Egyptian had not had any food or water for 3 days and nights, so they gave him a piece of fig cake and two clusters of raisins. Then he felt better. David asked the Egyptian, "Who is your master? Where do you come from?" The Egyptian answered,
"I am an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. 3 days ago, I got sick and my master left me behind. We had attacked the Negev area where the Kerethites live. We also attacked Judah and the Negev area where Caleb's people live. We burned Ziklag."
David asked the Egyptian, "Will you lead me to the people who took our families?" The Egyptian answered,
"If you make a special promise before God, I will help you find them. But you must promise that you will not kill me or give me back to my master."
The Egyptian led David to the Amalekites. They were lying around on the ground, eating and drinking. They were celebrating because of the many things they had taken from the Philistines and from Judah. David attacked them and killed them. They fought from sunrise until the evening of the next day. None of the Amalekites escaped, except for 400 young men who jumped onto their camels and rode away. David got back everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing. They found all the children and old people, all their sons and daughters, and all their valuables. David brought back everything the Amalekites had taken. He took all the sheep and cattle. His men led these animals to the front of the group and said,
"This is David's prize."
Then David went back to the 200 men who had stayed at Besor Ravine. These were the men who were too weak and tired to follow David. They came out to meet David and the soldiers who went with him. They greeted David and his army as they approached. There were some troublemakers in the group who went with David. They started complaining.
"These 200 men didn't go with us, so why should we give them any of the things we took? These men got nothing but their own wives and children."
David answered, "No, my brothers, don't do that. Think about what the Lord gave us. He let us defeat the enemy that attacked us. No one will listen to what you say. The share will be the same for the man who stayed with the supplies and for the man who went into battle. Everyone will share alike." David made this an order and rule for Israel. This rule continues even today. When David got to Ziklag, he sent some of the things he took from the Amalekites to his friends, the leaders of Judah. David said. Here is a present for you that we took from the Lord's enemies. David sent some of the gifts to the leaders in Bethel, Ramoth in the Negev, Jetir, Aroer, Sifmoth, Eshtemoa, Rakal, the cities of the Jeremelites, the cities of the Kenites, Hormah, Borashan, Athak, and Hebron, and to all the other places where David and his men had stayed.
1 Samuel chapter 31. Meanwhile, the Philistines fought against the Israelites, and the Israelites ran from them. There were many dead bodies that fell at Mount Gilboa. The Philistines fought hard against Saul and his sons. They killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. The battle grew fierce around Saul. The archers closed in and wounded him badly with their arrows. Then Saul told the helper who carried his armor,
"Pull out your sword and kill me with it, or else these foreigners will come and make fun of me and kill me."
But Saul's helper was afraid and refused to kill him. So Saul used his own sword to kill himself by falling on it. When the helper saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his own sword and died there with Saul. So Saul, his three sons, the helper who carried his armor, and his troops all died together that day. The Israelites who lived on the other side of the valley saw the Israelite army running away. They also saw that Saul and his sons were dead. So they left their towns and ran away. Then the Philistines came and lived in their towns. The next day, the Philistines went back to take things from the dead bodies. They found Saul and his three sons dead on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines cut off Saul's head and took all his armor. They sent the news to the Philistines and to all the temples of their idols. They put Saul's armor in the temple of Ashtoreth. The Philistines also hung Saul's body on the wall of Beth-shan. The people living in Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines did to Saul. So all the soldiers of Jabesh went to Beth-shan. They marched all night, went to the wall of Beth-shan, and took down the bodies of Saul and his sons. Then they carried them to Jabesh. There, the people of Jabesh burned the bodies of Saul and his three sons. Later, they buried the bones of Saul and his three sons under the big tree in Jabesh. Then the people of Jabesh showed their sorrow. They did not eat for 7 days.
John chapter 19, verse 28 to chapter 20, verse 9. Later, Jesus knew that everything had been done to make the scriptures come true, he said.
I am thirsty.
There was a jar full of sour wine there, so the soldiers soaked a sponge in it. They put the sponge on a branch of hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' mouth. When he tasted the wine, he said,
"It is finished."
And he bowed his head and died. This day was preparation day. The next day was a special Sabbath day. The Jewish leaders did not want the bodies to stay on the cross on the Sabbath day. So they asked Pilate to order that the legs of the men be broken. And they asked that the bodies be taken down from the crosses. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the two men on the crosses beside Jesus. But when the soldiers came close to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. So they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers stuck his spear into Jesus' side. Immediately, blood and water came out. The one who reports this saw it happen, so he knows that what he says is true. He is sharing these truths with you, so that you also can believe. These things happen to give full meaning to the scriptures that said, "None of his bones will be broken," and "People will look at the one they stabbed." Later, a man named Joseph from Arimathea, asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Joseph was a follower of Jesus, but he did not tell anyone, because he was afraid of the Jewish leaders. Pilate said Joseph could take Jesus' body, so he came and took it away. Nicodemus went with Joseph. He was the man who had come to Jesus before and talked to him at night. He brought about 30 kilograms of spices, a mixture of myrrh and aloes. These two men took Jesus' body and wrapped it in pieces of linen cloth with the spices. This is how the Jews bury people. In the place where Jesus was killed on the cross, there was a garden. In the garden there was a new tomb. No one had ever been buried there before. The tomb was nearby, so the men put Jesus in that tomb. They didn't have much time because it was the Jewish day of preparation for the Sabbath. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. She saw that the large stone had been moved away from the entrance. So she ran to Simon Peter and the other follower, the one Jesus loved very much. She said,
"They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him."
So Peter and the other follower started going to the tomb. They were both running, but the other follower ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down and looked in. He saw the pieces of linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. When Simon Peter finally reached the tomb, he went in and saw the pieces of linen lying there. He also saw the cloth that had been around Jesus' head. It was rolled up and laid in a different place from the pieces of linen. Then the other follower went in, the one who had reached the tomb first. He saw what had happened and believed. These followers did not yet understand from the scriptures that Jesus must rise from death. Psalms chapter 68, verses 28 to 35.
God, show us your power. Show us the power you used for us in the past. Kings will bring their wealth to you, to your temple in Jerusalem. Punish the people in Egypt. They are like cattle in the marshes, like bulls among the calves. You humiliated them. You scattered them in war. Now let them come crawling to you, bringing their pieces of silver. Messengers will come from Egypt. Ethiopia will offer gifts to God. Kingdoms of the earth sing to God. Sing songs of praise to the Lord. Salah. Sing to him who rides his chariot through the ancient skies. Listen to his powerful voice. Tell everyone how powerful he is. He rules over Israel, and his power fills the skies. God, you are awesome in your temple. You are the God of Israel, the one who gives strength and power to the people. Praise God!
Thank you, everyone. That was day 151. Join us for day 152. We begin the book of 2 Samuel, and I will be providing a brief introduction to 2 Samuel. We'll be reading chapters 1 through chapter 2, verse 7. And in the book of John, where we find the followers of Jesus still wondering where his body is. And even when Jesus appears to them, some still do not believe. We hope you enjoyed today's verses. Be sure to leave us a positive review and to share this podcast with your friends and family. Please join us for the next episode as we experience the Bible in 1 year.
Did you know we offer online courses in creative writing, literature, and web design? Visit us at storymaster.online to learn more.